In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. What do these words mean? Is it not the case that many of the saints have seen God? Do we not read in the Old Testament that Moses on Mount Sinai beheld God? Do we not read in the lives of the saints how many of the saints beheld God himself? What does it mean then when it says, when our Lord himself, through the evangelist John, says, no man hath seen God at any time? The fathers of the church explained to us that there are in fact two different interpretations of this passage from Holy Scripture. Often, when in the Holy Scripture, when it refers to God, it's referring to the person of God the Father. We know that the God that we worship is a Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And, of course, we who are Christians and understand and know that each person of the Holy Trinity is completely and fully God and entirely partakes of the divinity, we refer to each of them quite properly as God. Yet in Holy Scripture, when the mystery of the Holy Trinity had not yet been fully revealed, the word God was applied usually to the person of the Father. And so, when it says, no man has seen God at any time, it's referring to the Old Testament, because of course, the Gospels were written just at the beginning of the New Testament. When it's referring to sacred history, it's referring to the Old Testament. The Fathers explained to us that all of the manifestations of God that occurred in the Old Testament were manifestations not of God the Father, but rather of God the Son, of the pre-incarnate Logos, the pre-incarnate Word of God. And so we read in the Old Testament how many prophets there were, how many witnesses to the future coming of Christ. And because God, the Word, is the Word of the Father, He manifests the will of the Father unto us, unto the human race, both in the Old Testament in His pre-incarnate form and in the New Testament in the person of Jesus Christ. So when it says, no man had seen God at any time, that means that in the Old Testament, no man had seen God the Father at any time, because all the manifestations of God were of God the Son. Now, some of the other fathers, such as Saint Gregory Palamas, explained to us that there is another level of meaning when it says that no man has seen God at any time. This refers to the distinction between the essence and the energy in God. When he says, no man has seen God at any time, he is referring to the essence of God, which is completely unapproachable, completely untouchable, completely incomprehensible, completely unthinkable, completely beyond anything that humans can reach or conceive or speak of, either in this world or in the world to come. No one has seen the essence of God, nor can see it. However, God's essence is revealed to us by means of His energies, by means of those rays of light, by means of those beams of grace which reach down from God to the human race, and which are perceived by us who are sinners, dimly in the form of the effects that it has in our life and in the effect and in the form of the symbols which we have within the Holy Church, but perceived more clearly by the saints, those men of God who have purified their souls and bodies by means of asceticism, by means of spiritual struggle, and thus have become worthy of receiving the grace of the Holy Spirit. These men truly have seen God, not in His essence, but rather in His energies. They have seen the uncreated light. They have seen the glory of God manifested within themselves and within the world. So when we read Holy Scripture, we must be careful how we read it. We must not read it in a simplistic way, according to the inventions of our own mind, but rather we must read the commentaries of the Holy Fathers. And not just one or two Holy Fathers, but as many Holy Fathers as we can get our hands on, as many Holy Fathers as we have the time and the opportunity to read, so much more are we profited. And thus we learn and we understand what is the meaning of the words which our Lord speaks to us. What is the meaning of these divinely inspired oracles which the Holy Fathers have handed down to us? Thus we too, who are in this time of Pascha, in which we read the Gospel according to St. John, which is the most profound, the most theological, the richest of all the Holy Gospels which are written, and we sense the grace and the power which is behind these words which are capable of lifting us up to divine realities. And we are filled with the joy of the resurrection. We sense now, even if only to a slight degree, or in the smallest measure, the sense that God's grace really is present, that everything that we read about, everything that we hear about in the church really is true, that these are not just words that we hear, these are not just myths or stories that are meant to inspire us, but rather they are realities. And they are realities which are capable of becoming part of our own life. Now that we have experienced the grace of Pascha, now that we are in Bright Week, which is a continuation of the day of Pascha, which is in fact an image of that future day in the kingdom, wherein time no longer has any meaning. We celebrate the entire week of Bright Week as if it were one day of Pascha. And we pray to our Lord God that He will continue to grant us this Paschal grace both during this bright and holy week and throughout the entire period of Pascha up unto the day of the Ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. May our Lord deem us worthy to behold God, not in His essence, but in those glorious energies, those beams of light and dewy drops of grace which He gives to those who are faithful, to His servants, to His friends, among whom may we too be counted both in this world and in the age to come. Amen.